recent backcountry ski accident near Haines sparks a larger discussion within the extreme sport community. And the Haines Assembly addresses nonprofit funding. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. News that one skier died and two others were injured on Sunday during a heli-skiing tour near Haines has reached across the country and sparked a flurry of discussions online and elsewhere about risk and rewards of adventurous outdoor sports. The New York Times published an article on Tuesday titled Extreme Grief. In it, writer Neil Amdor recounts the avalanche last year that killed a local heli-ski guide and client. Amdor interviews the families of guide Rob Lieberman and client Nick Dodoff, along with family and friends of other extreme sport athletes. He also talks with filmmaker Ben Clark in the article. Clark recently produced a documentary that follows the company Alaska Heliskiing during several weeks of its 2012 season, right up to the day of the March 13th avalanche. The article also mentions the Sunday accident near Haines that claimed the life of Christian Caponella and injured two others. But Amdor said in an email that he had been working on the article for several weeks before Sunday's accident. He said a great deal of research went into it, including extensive interviews. He wrote it was a very complex and sensitive subject on many levels and deserves discussion. The article struck a chord with many people, and not everyone was in agreement with its train of thought, including journalist and photographer Stephen Casimiro. He's the West Coast editor for National Geographic Adventure magazine. He worked 10 years with Powder magazine and is founding editor of Bike magazine. He said in a phone interview on Thursday, when he woke up Wednesday and read Amdor's article, he felt the need to pen a response. He posted it on his blog through the National Geographic Adventure magazine, The Adventure Life with Steve Casimiro.
I woke up, I read it, and I was appalled by what I saw there because I felt like it was asking the wrong questions for the wrong reasons, and I felt like it misunderstood the basic equation of risk and adventure and why we do the things that we do out there. And I felt that what we needed was a mature and authentic look at risk and at death and why we do these adventurous things from the perspective of somebody who's done it.
Casimiro said what he wanted to do in his article was counter the notion that those seeking adventure in the outdoors are okay with the possibility of death in their endeavors. He says there is a difference between those that adventure out on their own and go with commercial tour operators, but he also said there are factors that don't change the risk when on a commercial tour.
The risk, the objective hazards out in the world are completely agnostic. They don't care whether you're paying to be out there or not. So rockfall, avalanche, tidal wave, tsunami, any of that stuff is going to happen regardless of who you are or whether you're a client or a guide.
But Casimiro said the biggest factor in any potentially risky activity is the human element, and that's where an individual's mindset might change when adventuring with a guide rather than on their own, he said.
And what happens with a commercial, when you become a part of a commercial trip, it's natural that when you go on vacation, you kind of turn your brain off. And the same thing happens whether you're heli-skiing or on a kayak guided trip. It's just inevitable that people put trust in their guide, and they put some of that decision-making power in the hands of the guide, and they have this expectation that the guide, whether it's a conscious thought or not, is going to protect them from those things.
Individuals with a guided tour may not evaluate the terrain or conditions in the same way as if they were on their own. That puts more pressure and responsibility on the guides, Casimiro said. Individuals relying on a guide should still be attentive to their own personal risk, he said. Some of the people interviewed in Amdur's New York Times article said the commercial heli-skiing and other risky adventure sports need more regulation. Asked what he thinks about that idea, Casimiro called it a loaded question.
There need to be protocols, absolutely. And there need to be some kind of regulations whenever you're accepting money to take somebody out, whether you're in a helicopter or an airplane or what. But I don't know where you draw that line, because too often regulations are being drawn up by people who have no expertise in that environment. I mean, who's going to decide what you ski and what you don't ski when you're in backcountry terrain? Certainly a congressional representative isn't going to have the skills to do that. I mean, ultimately it's going to come down to a judgment call that is unique to that moment based on weather conditions and snow conditions and group and all of that. So I think what there needs to be is a good look at it, and there need to be protocols. regulations, it's a pretty slippery slope.
Casimiro had a number of specific criticisms about the New York Times article. He said Amdur tries drawing parallels to several incidents, like the heliskiing deaths in Haines, a snowboarder who suffered a brain injury at the X Games, a freestyle skier and a snow machiner who both died during their sporting events. But the only similarities between all these events is that they took place on snow, Casimiro said. He said the dynamics between various ski sports and terrain and events are all too different to lump together and use the same equation for risk evaluation. He also takes issue with the New York Times article because it doesn't take into the perspective of why people have their adventures and how they do process and moderate risk in their adventures.
They sort of glossed over and really distilled down to black and white issue. If you go out there, you're risking your life. If you don't go out there, you're not risking your life. And it's a much more complicated and it's much grayer than that.
Since both articles have come out, they each have been commented on, emailed, and shared on Facebook by thousands of people just in the last 2 days. Casimiro said he doesn't know how much either article does to bring the issue of outdoor adventures and associated risk and safety into the mainstream. But for places where outdoor enthusiasts abound and within circles of people who take part in these adventures, Casimiro said he thinks the conversation being generated is important. But the most important thing Casimiro has drawn from the conversation over the last few days was how, perhaps, the perception of death in adventure sports needs to either change or be better expressed. He starts out his article talking about how he used to subscribe to the belief that if he died doing something outdoors, at least, like the saying goes, he died doing something he loved. But throughout the years, his way of thinking has changed. He writes that when people die of anything but old age, it's most often a tragedy, and death needs to be respected in that way in every circumstance.
And as soon as you start to think, well, if I go back after skiing, I could die, I think what you're doing is you're giving up some of that responsibility to look after your own hide. And I think if you go, you know what, that is just completely unacceptable. We're going to do everything that we can to return home in one piece safely. That's going to affect your decision-making out there. So that's the other thing that I'm hearing really resonate with people are going, yes, yes, it needs to be articulated. Yes, this is exactly true.
We've linked to both articles on our KHNS News webpage. Ben Clark's documentary, The Alaskan Way, is also linked to from the New York Times article. We told you last newscast about the discussion and actions of the Haynesboro Assembly meeting Tuesday regarding the Haynes Police Department and Chief. The Assembly did take up a few other issues Tuesday. One was a discussion on what direction to take toward borough funding of nonprofit requests for fiscal year 2014. Last year, the Assembly decided to fund nonprofit requests at the same level as the year previous, meaning the appropriations fell about $22,000 short of funds requested by various nonprofits. This year, Mayor Stephanie Scott asked the Assembly to determine first if it planned on funding nonprofit requests, and if so, how the application and appropriation process could be tweaked. Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel made a motion Tuesday to divvy up the money available to nonprofits into three separate categories. One category would be for nonprofit requests for health services. This funding would come from the Medical Service Area Fund, which comes from an area-wide sales tax. For several years, this fund has been the source of the annual appropriation to Lynn Canal Counseling. The second category would be for nonprofit requests related to economic development. The Assembly over the years has been appropriating funds for organizations that sponsor events that bring people to town out of that fund that comes from a different area-wide sales tax for economic development and tourism promotion. Nonprofit requests traditionally funded from that source include events and agencies like the King Salmon Derby, the Southeast Alaska State Fair, Haynes Little League, and Chilkat Snowburners. For nonprofits not fitting either of those categories, the Assembly approved the designation of a community chest fund. Schnabel suggested, and the Assembly agreed, the borough manager set aside no more than $80,000 to that fund. Borough manager Mark Ernest also emphasized that because of decreased state and federal funding in the coming years, the fund may not include that much once he has formulated his budget. The Assembly also sent the task of creating an application or matrix formula to use for evaluating and appropriating nonprofit requests to the Finance Committee. Previously, nonprofit agencies submitted their application for funding to the borough at this time of year when the manager was drafting his budget. The assembly on Tuesday was leaning in the direction of waiting until fall for putting out a call for those applications. Ernest said that would allow more time for the borough to evaluate what funding sources will be available for 2014 and where state or federal funds to the borough may be lacking. Also Tuesday, the assembly heard from members of the Fire Service Area 1 Board of Directors. J.R. Myers told the assembly, since a recent board was appointed and approved by the assembly, it has had difficulty getting information from the borough about how to function as a fire service area board. Myers said there's a lack of information and communication with the borough and asked for the assembly's support in auditing the fire service area records, encouraging the fire chief to attend meetings and support the board in its duties. The assembly also approved Mayor Stephanie Scott's request to form an ad hoc committee to address the shuttle ferry concept design and project. The Haines Assembly approved having Assemblywoman Joanne Waterman, also a Marine Highway employee, serve on the committee and to appoint another representative of the borough and a member of the public to the committee. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.